How's this for somebody who's a busy person, lots of interests, and also quite a brainy lady by the sound of it, is an archaeologist and broadcaster. She works for the BBC on Channel 5, National Geographic and Discovery, and she's also one of the presenters of BBC One's Country Tracks and the BBC's The Story of Now. Well, Miriam spends part of the year here on the Costa del Sol. She loves Spain. You love Spain, don't you?
I do.
You do. She's telling us now, you see. Well, Miriam trained and worked as an actress and musician, and her new pop acoustic album, she loves singing, and she's got a new album out called Free Falling, is an acoustic folk pop mix which blends rich, soaring, Joni Mitchell-esque harmonies with chilling, darker glimpses of haunting heartache and social niceties. I tell you what, I listened to some of the lyrics, and I mean, they are quite fascinating as well. Yeah. Miriam, welcome to Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure having you here. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of The Sea from this album.
All right.
Give our listeners a flavour, and then we'll come back in a moment and have a chat, OK?
Great.
Mary took the keys and closed the door. She knew she could
Miriam Cook, and the album is called Free Falling, and we'll be playing that title track when we sort of wish our guest here this afternoon a farewell. But first of all, let me ask you, archaeology, now what made you decide to go into this sort of profession, to this field?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll try not to make it too long.
It's always a long story, isn't it? There's a sort of short one, then there's a broadcast one, I think.
Yeah. Well, I have done quite a few things in my life and my career, and I started off in Ireland when I was about 18 in modelling. I won a modelling competition, which was kind of, a bit like the Britain's Top Model of those days. You got a contract with
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a great experience.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so I started working with different agencies all over the world, in Paris, Milan, and then I ended up moving to New York, and then I went and lived there for nearly a year, and then I went to Italy, and I lived there for a long time as well, working and travelling around. But I always had this interest in history and archaeology, probably because from a child my parents were very interested in history, and we'd always visit castles and archaeological sites, and we lived in Ireland in a very interesting
I can imagine. But I mean, archaeology, it's all about life and past, isn't it? And and development of humans, of animals, and of course the thing is that you have an incredible opportunity to actually go somewhere, and of course you find you start to dig and you find this sort of buried, buried monastery, or even fossils.
What to an archaeologist is treasure to somebody else might seem completely mundane.
Sure.
It could be a piece of pottery you're suddenly an archaeologist is you know, tearing up about, because
absolutely,
it tells
yes.
you about the society and where the you know, how they were making things, and was it a matriarchal society that was influencing the type of patterns, and you know, what you could find out about the fabric of the pottery and where the,
absolutely.
You know, the clay came from. So it, there's an awful lot there of interesting things that other people might not see, but brought together.
It's pretty limitless, isn't it? Let's yeah. be honest. I mean, it's just incredible. And so all of that travel, you know, sort of in the modelling game,
yeah.
you sort of saw different cultures, yeah. different parts of the world, and obviously you must have come across some interesting architecture and trying to understand, well, that building there, I mean, how long has that been standing? It says, oh, about 1,500 years, you know.
Yeah.
And wow. And, you know, so your interest is then peaked, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think, oh, I've got to find out more about this.
And also because as a model and being able to have access to these incredible places that normally you wouldn't have access to.
Yeah.
For example, I might have been doing a photo shoot in the Forum in Rome and going into places that normally you wouldn't be allowed to
yeah.
because the magazine got permission
yeah.
or whatever, and certain things like that. I remember shooting in Turkey in Pamukkale, which is
absolutely.
The most amazing site, Roman site, and
absolutely.
Getting into places that you wouldn't normally go to. So there was all of these influences as well, and I'd always go out and wander around and really kind of have a look around. While other people would be going back to their hotels, I'd say, oh, I'm going to go out for a, you know, a walk and wander and find out a bit more about these places. So when I became an actress, and I worked in Italy as well and all over as well. But I always wanted to go back to university. I wanted to do a degree. I wanted to.
You had that passion for the archaeology, and you
yeah.
wanted to sort of actually get qualifications
yes.
and learn a lot more about the study
exactly.
of archaeology. Well,
yeah.
I can understand that. But you certainly sort of weren't sort of sitting at home watching television all the time.
No.
You were out there. You were a model. Then you went into doing acting, and of course you. I mean, as a sort of a broadcaster, you
yeah.
obviously had the opportunity to meet other people, and obviously yeah. I suppose going into BBC World Service, you probably had the opportunity to meet existing professors of archaeology and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Well, it was, I suppose, as an archaeologist, working in archaeology, becoming an archaeologist and then working in that field, it led me back, strangely, into television, because I had worked in presenting before when I was acting
mm-hmm.
and I did some presenting then as well. But because I had this expertise, it introduced a new area for me in broadcasting. So it opened up new opportunities.
Yeah, a big sort of change in sort of television viewing. I mean, National Geographic has got its own channels, and of course you've got Discovery channels as well. So there's a History Channel,
so
there's a much, much bigger sort of, shall we say, field of opportunity in sort
yeah.
of doing this kind of documentary-style television. I mean, it's there all the time. We
yeah.
see it all the time, and it's fascinating. And of course, the thing is, it's become quite popular to sort of talk about archaeological digs and its discovery of a hoard of coins, or
yeah.
you know, and of course, we've all fascinated by the ancient Egyptians and the pharaohs and so on. But
yeah.
that's just like tip of the iceberg, really, isn't it?
Well, it is, and for me, I guess the beauty of being able to make programs and about archaeology and history is that I can. For example, when you, as an archaeologist, when you're working on a site, you have to pull together all this evidence, and then you're supposed to present a paper, publish the report. A lot of these reports often don't get finished, you know, so that the general public doesn't get to actually read about things for a long time afterwards. And oftentimes when it does come out, it's in very academic language, it's quite, you know, heavy to read. So this kind of work gives me an opportunity to make things more accessible.
Okay, yes, I can follow that, because it's like doctors sort of doing a paper in The Lancet, you know.
Yes.
Nobody
exactly.
outside the profession will understand what on earth they're talking about, because now they can go on television and do documentaries about it and explain
exactly.
it to the layman.
And just make it more accessible and more interesting and more entertaining as well. You can learn a lot through entertainment. So I mean, I love doing things about experimental archaeology and mm-hmm. learning how to remake things from the past. And that's also a great source of information about how things worked in the past by trying to remake and experiment with different processing and technologies and stuff. So that kind of thing is very... I like doing that a lot. But also, this has also given me an opportunity. I work... Because I'm a musician as well, for example, the last program mm-hmm. on the World Service was about sound in prehistory, so it brought in the music as well.
Okay.
So it was blending the two things together, and I've been doing quite a bit of that recently. I've got another program that I'm working on at the moment, which is music orientated with history and as well. So it's brilliant because I can... pull together a lot of different
strands. Well, that's interesting because you preempted my next question, because obviously that in archaeology there's so many aspects to it, there's a wide spectrum, and also we're talking about cultures and singing and music and obviously art as well in sort of drawings and paintings and so on and so forth, but there's an awful lot of history and there's an awful lot of interesting sort of things to discover about how communication through song has been instrumental in cultures through the centuries and through the millennia. And I mean, obviously, as you quite rightly said there, you're doing these documentaries, your opportunity. The fact that you're broadcasted, it means you can communicate these things are far, far better because you obviously have that ability. And that's going to be a huge asset from your point of view. And of course, you've been out there and you've done these modelling. So you create the confidence in yourself. You've got better confidence in dealing with sort of press conferences and presentations, and of course being behind a camera as well. I mean, it's a lot of people find it quite incredibly daunting, but you sound to me as though you just sort of like fall into it.
Well, when you've done it for a while.
There you are. You know, you've done it for a while. For what?
It becomes second nature, really.
It's like me sitting here behind a microphone and I get friends saying, how do you still do it? What do you mean still do it? We're not exactly a young spring chicken anymore and you've been doing it forever. I mean, well, yeah, but not just me. I mean, look at DJs like Tony Blackburn. I mean, he's still doing it, and look how old that gentleman is. But then again, it's like talking about on the radio, and look at all of the tremendous journalists in radio and TV. They're sort of in their sort of 60s, 70s, 80s. They're still doing it because they can communicate. Yeah. And communication is one of the most important things in the development of our human history.
Indeed.
And be able to communicate as well as we possibly can and avoid conflicts, which obviously doesn't always work, but it's something that's what the humans do. We do at least talk about it. Now, archaeology... they say it covers so much and it's such a wide spectrum. And you've sort of made yourself thinking, well, I'm doing that, I've done that, I want to do this. My passion at the moment is to do these songs. I want to put out this album of this music. And this brings us to our sort of chat about your music. And I think what we do, if you're okay for time, we're going to have a quick commercial break.
Great.
And come back and we'll talk about your music in more detail.
Yeah, yeah? Lovely.
Okay. I've got a really, really interesting and remarkable, talented lady here in the studio. Her name is Miriam Cook. That's with an E, as in Alistair, if I remember correctly. And now, Miriam, no relation.
No.
Now, Miriam, obviously, you also have been involved in a program, BBC One's Country Tracks.
Yes.
Obviously, that brings us into the music sort of side of you. And how did this all come about? And did that influence you in what you wanted to do musically?
I'm very interested in the environment and nature and social history, and that program, particularly Country Tracks, tended to bring all of that together, very much like Country File.
Yeah, I mean, that's hugely popular, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's...
immensely popular.
It's exactly that kind of programme. It just was a different format. You'd have one presenter that would go on and do different topics within the programme itself. So you got to explore many different areas related to the UK with environment. Geography, food. It was brilliant
and pretty eclectic, isn't
it? But for me, and it has very much to do with what my interest in music is as well. I'm very much into the folk area as well, and my music is very much influenced by that as well. It's got a very folky feel, and the acoustic sense, you know, very the stripping things back to the bare bones. A lot of the instruments that I would use on the music would be things like, you know, flute, harp. You know, we use double bass. It's a very organic sound.
Indeed, indeed.
And yeah, my music is very influenced by my interest in the environment, in folk history, in stories, in all of the things from my past, really, and all of the things that I've grown up with, and my travels. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in a very musical family. My parents were very musical. They sang.
My dad was
an amazing singer. And being, you know, from an Irish background as well,
sure.
We were all very into, you know, all the relatives would be over and then there'd be a sing-song and everybody had their song.
Goes with the territory.
Yeah, it was very much, that was part of growing up.
It's the culture.
Yeah, fantastic.
And
a lot of those songs would have influenced me. But also my parents were very into musicals, so we'd be listening to musicals and listening to that. And then I was very into prog rock from the 70s and, you know, obviously before my time, but, you know,
I love
all of that. So that all came together in English folk and Irish folk, and it's all been very influential upon me and my music, as well as the other stuff that I do and the travels and archaeology and history. So, yeah, it's all brought it together, really. But at the same time, there is another element in my music. It's some of it does say stuff about society, and it has some reflections as well.
Well, you're putting some sort of life stories and influences into your lyrics. I mean, that is very important. I mean, the PR sort of describes your album with plenty of character. Mm-hmm. It's one of those tuneful, catchy, whimsical, slightly quirky indie acoustic folk pop confections. My goodness me. They know how to write these things, don't they, these people? Now, you create a thing of intense beauty, which is nice. Oh, yeah. Structure as fragile as even the most dainty of flowers, yet with an underlying strength that is hard to ignore. I just enjoy
it's
reading these
nice.
Things.
<Isn't it>?
And you think, is that me?
Yeah.
And I mean, really, the essence is, of course, is that you're sort of looking at your life, and you look at the life you've led, and you can sort of see things there. And you, I mean, I don't know whether you included any sort of romances that have gone wrong or sort of incidents of in life like that as well, because that's what normally gets written. About, but
yeah.
But obviously the thing is you can take a line and you can sort of expand it and you think that is such a good line in your head.
Yeah.
Will it work in a song? And so you take that and you put it into the song and it just flows beautifully. And it must be a great feeling to sort of actually be able to do that and get it to work for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I've got from listening to. I say I've just breezily through the tracks here. We're going to listen to the title track of the album in just a few moments. That seems to work really well for you. And that must be a tremendous feeling of joy, of excitement and achievement.
Yeah, well, I've been working on this album for quite some time. And it just all came together very nicely. And I worked with a wonderful producer who understood exactly what I wanted to do. And the songs are a mixture of stories, like storytelling and experiences as well. So some of them, like, for example, The Sea is actually like a narrative. It's a story, whereas other ones are not so much. But that, for example, Bring Me With You might be a bit more. It's a bit more heartfelt. It's about loss. It's desperation. It's, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily me, but it's. There are certainly things that would be from me that would go into that, and there's a lot of. Angst, but there's a lot of beauty of joy as well in songs, and I think that for me, that's the things I love about music. I love the sweet and sour, the
expression. You can express yourself in so many different ways, and that's what hasn't done Adele any
exactly.
harm, is it?
Hey, I'll just follow Adele anytime.
Let us sort of just conclude this, because we're going to play out with that track. But I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Now you're obviously sort of promoting the music. The album is it out now?
It's out now. And mm-hmm. the Free Falling will be released as a single in June.
Okay.
So we'll be doing quite a bit more promo.
Absolutely.
About that. Yeah. In the UK as well, and. The album is out now. You can get it on all of the platforms, iTunes, it's on Spotify.
Well, when our website's back up and running, I had a few mechanical problems. I say mechanical, it's people probably. TRE.radio, there is a book tab there and also information tab about music. But yes, you're quite right. You can actually go and sort of find it on all the sites now. And of course, the thing is that I suppose it's in some ways it's a very, very helpful aspect today that you can actually find music a lot easier to listen to buy and download and so on and so forth. So obviously the opportunity is giving you the chance to get out there and be heard as it is listening to it here.
Yeah.
Which of course a few years ago that wouldn't happen, would it?
I mean the social media impact, the how much reach you can have through that is incredible these days. But obviously things change, especially as musicians. You rely a lot more on your touring as well to get out there to make, because you're not going to make as much from your CDs anymore. Nobody's buying CDs. Online then.
You probably do better with vinyl
now.
These days, I've heard.
Yeah, vinyl's really come back.
It's really come back, yes,
so,
it has.
And I've even heard that tapes are being processed.
Well, yes, the compact cassette has reared its ugly head.
I know, I can't believe it.
The dynamic range of a duck.
Getting our Walkmans out again.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, hope not. That's what I said. I said the dynamic range of a duck. So what do you mean, Alice? What is that, isn't it? You know what dynamic range is? No, I won't go into it then. But no, let's get back on track here. Excuse the pun. But I mean, the thing is that in yourself, you've been able to actually sort of produce this and create it.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it, I think, well, that she really, really has got the feeling in there, and I do sort of congratulate you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Now, archaeological work. I mean, I'm going to say, you like to ferret around into the past. And a good shoe. What does that mean?
Well, I think that's just a play on the fact that I get a bit dirty in the ground, and I also like a bit of fashion as well. You know,
good for you.
I've got the two sides.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I mean, I still have a projects I'm working on, and I mean, I get to visit incredible places. When we were shooting the Symphony of the Stones for the BBC World Service, we actually went up here in Andalusia to mm-hmm. Cueva de la Pileta.
Oh, yes.
Which I'd visited years ago. And it had always stayed with me because it was the first time that I ever encountered a lithophone. And someone's like, what the hell is a lithophone? And it's a rock that rings with sound.
Rings sound.
So they have an incredible lithophone in there. It's called the organ, and it's stalactites and stalagmites that come together in a column, and you can play them like a xylophone. And there are marks and wear on there that go back, that show that they were played in prehistory. And, you know, you can create
I know, it's
notes with them,
isn't it?
And there's pitch, and, the, you know, so... Yeah. These are incredible things, and people were the same as us in the past. They you know, physically, and they needed the same thing: shelter, all of these things which are fundamental to humans. It was the same in the past, and we would have felt the same things: hate, love. You know,
and trying to sort of be creative and find some way of entertaining each other, and of course through music and singing and playing instruments or creating sounds on whatever they thought was going to create a sound which could sort of sound melodic to the ear.
Yeah. So and the fact that there is wear on these things that show that they were struck, and the points that are struck are mm-hmm. the ones that make the specific notes. There are other parts that don't make any sound, and there are no wear marks on them. So it's,
I see.
And there's been a lot of research and there's a lot of evidence to show that that acoustics was important in prehistory. So, yeah, I mean, I get to see a lot of these wonderful places and explore and as part of my job. So, you know, there's nothing greater. As well as making my own music, I can do this.
Your own music, yeah. Excuse me, and you're involving yourself in your archaeological sort of love, and you must feel very fulfilled. You must feel very fulfilled in all of this, and I say it's been a pleasure to meet you, Miriam. And I say this Symphony of the Stones. You say this was made for the BBC World Service.
Yes, it was out at the end of December, and I think it's just come off the iPlayer catch-up. So, but it may still be on there. You check it out.
Well, I'll look it back and now, because you know we're BBC World Service partner.
Well, exactly.
So it would have aired sometime on the station. But we'll look back and see where it might have been going, because I'd be fascinated to listen to that. Yeah. So something that does interest me. I mean, I've always interested in sound. I mean, you know, I've been an engineer in radio and also in production. And many, many years ago back in the UK. And one of the things that always fascinated me, as you just said, about the way in which we have so much richness and wealth of musical variations. I mean, one of my favourite period musically of all time is Baroque.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but you know that you can have a musical genre or style or feeling that just basically gets there, you know.
Yeah.
Hits the old heartstrings.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can walk around the house listening to Baroque music all day and all night. My wife hates it.
Oh, God.
So it's been fabulous to sort of have the opportunity to chat with you. Now the album is called Free Falling.
Yeah,
it's the title track. Now tell us a bit about the title track, we'll sort of go out with it.
Free Falling is, I suppose, it's a little bit of a commentary on what's going on in society at the moment. We if you listen to the opening lines, you probably get an idea. It's a little bit, you know, what's happening in society and what's going on with this. It touches on the fact that, you know, we're obsessed with our technology, mm-hmm. and yet we've got such poverty within society as well.
Yeah,
and it's a little bit. It's a reflection. It's a comment on that, but at the same time, it is uplifting as well. So you've got both sides again, and it's. Yeah, I think you have.
Well,
to
it's a great track, I think, to play out with. As I said, it's the one I've actually listened to all the way through to, and I know exactly what you're saying. And I want our listeners to get the opportunity to appreciate this. Miriam Cook, it's been a real pleasure, and I wish you much success with the album and all of your activities in the future, whether it be modelling, whether it be you don't do that so much as you used to.
Not
do
so much anymore.
Broadcasting and of course the archaeology as well. And congratulations. And and obviously I can't imagine you sort of actually ever sort of spending a day where you've got nothing to do.
Like a nice day lying out on the beach would be.
Why not?
Very nice.
Indeed. Now you're down here, do that. Right, Miriam, we're going to play out with this. We'll let everybody listen to it.
Thank
and
you
it's
very
been a real
much.
Pleasure. I'd like to sort of wish everybody a goodbye
and
introduce
bye-bye.
The track.
Thank you. And this is my new single, Free Falling, from the album Free Falling.
In the bedroom, she's praying to the wall. Father's on the Xbox, son lends women from his palm.
are. That is the sound of Miriam Cook and the title track off the album Free Falling. Thanks so much indeed for joining us this afternoon. If you want to find out more about the album, of course, you can go to their website, which is miriamcook.bandcamp.com. And if you want to sort of download it, if more information, you can find out from the Apple Store, iPlayer, and also through Spotify as well.